Welcome back, guys, to our third episode of Understanding Students. I'm extremely excited, guys. You don't know how excited I am to have the opportunity to interview a close friend, a close colleague of mine, Diana Carson. She's been an amazing mentor to me in my beginning of my education as an educator. So today we're going to be talking about understanding students. Welcome, Ms. Carson.
Hi, thank you very much.
I'm excited. You know, I'm a little nervous, but we'll get through this. So today I just want to hit up on specific things. I want to talk about understanding students, curriculum assessments, and also feedback. You being a senior teacher here with so much years of experience, your opinion is very valued in this. And I know this podcast will be put on a website, mm-hmm. which gives teachers an opportunity to have resources to get a viewpoint from a different teacher's perspective. So I know anything that you will say will be very pivotal to improving our student development, our teacher development as well.
Okay.
All right, the first question is, it's a simple question, is how important is understanding your student when trying to teach them?
I think it's very important. I think for new teachers, they're so overwhelmed with remembering everything they want to cover in a lesson, what they want to say, questions they want to ask, that they sometimes forget to think about each individual student and their ability to not only answer the questions, mm-hmm. but also be able to pay attention to the lesson, connect with what the teacher is saying.
Yeah.
So sometimes a student that is speaking out in class,
mm-hmm.
they're not speaking out just to get attention. Sometimes it's because they're feeling anxiety over their ability to actually perform in class.
Mm.
And so if you recognize that and mm-hmm. try to alleviate those fears early on and say, no, we've been reading this story out loud, I know you've been paying attention, you can answer these questions.
Yeah.
Then they don't feel as nervous when they have to perform in front of their peers because you've connected with them. They know that you know where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to do,
yeah.
and you're not going to be able to know 100% of your students right away, but
yeah.
it definitely helps in letting the lesson go a little bit more smoothly and actually connecting with everyone.
Okay. So it's important to tailor each lesson to meet your students' needs. And I like what you say there about how it's not easy to do, and it takes time to
yeah.
develop that relationship from teacher to student.
Yep.
And some relationships go well, and some relationships just don't go as well as you want them to.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Moving on to my next question is, I think it's probably one of the most important piece in my project that I'm doing. How well do you understand student developmental stages? And on top of that, how does it influence your lesson planning when you are understanding your student developmental stages?
I think everybody goes through those classes in college where you learn about different stages of development. But until you're actually in a classroom with a number of students who are all the same age, do you realize that, wow, they might all be 12, but some of them are way further along in their understanding of certain concepts than others, or in their ability to analyze certain things. It definitely helped having kids of my own,
mm-hmm.
because I can see how even raised the same way, they come out very differently.
Mm.
Some kids are ready for certain things at a younger stage than others. So for example, if you're discussing a novel, especially with middle school kids,
yeah.
Being able to analyze that novel for theme is something that kids struggle with, that analytical portion of themselves.
Mm.
What does this symbolize? They don't quite get it because they're still very black and white and very concrete. But as they proceed intellectually to understand those concepts, it's really important to not be punitive in your grading when they're trying to analyze. They need practice, and they need to be able to hear kids struggle with these concepts and kind of explain their thinking. So today in class, we did this activity where it was called face-to-face, where
uh-huh.
kids sort of sit in two rows and they face each other, and I ask a question, they have to talk about it with each other.
Mm.
And some of them were highly analytical. Why do you think this is happening? What do you think this is going to mean about this character later on in the novel?
Yeah.
And some kids kind of just looked at the question and said, I really don't know, while others sort of jumped at the chance.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't grade the activity.
Mm-hmm.
I did hold everyone accountable for trying, and
yeah.
I think it helps them to understand that, wow, I didn't see that, but I can see how that makes sense now. Some kids, when they read a story, just love to read a story for the story. Other kids are ready to really figure out why the author did this and that. But it's a skill you develop over time. So when you're planning lessons, realize not all of your kids are going to be there. Start off slowly. Throw in a couple of those questions because you never know who's going to respond, who's going to catch on.
Yeah.
Some kids don't even know that they've actually figured things out when they say them. And then they get really, really excited and they're really? I was like, yes, you completely got that. I can't believe you noticed that. And they'll go, wow, I didn't even know. You know, they're shocked. So don't think that, you know, just because a kid can't read very well in your class doesn't mean that they can't analyze something that novel. They could. You know, you never know what you're going to get from a kid. So never assume. Just try it and see if it works out. And don't grade it the first time. And give them a chance to make their mistakes and learn from them. And the work will get better and better.
I see. Wow. Thank you so much for that thorough answer. And just listening to you, I'm starting to get a better point of view because I never really went to college to be a teacher. I went to college to be a counselor.
Right.
But then getting a point of view from your side, it's like gives me a better understanding of how you work with the students and meeting them at their developmental stages.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
You're welcome.
My last question is about feedback and feedback meeting the curriculum and assessments that you put together. So in regards to feedback, what do you do to obtain feedback and to make sure that you are meeting your students' needs based on the curriculum that your school provides?
Well, there's a couple ways you can do it. You can, if you have a unit that's very clear cut, you could do the sort of pre-test and post-test so that you understand what they know before you even begin so you can build from where they are. Language arts isn't as clear cut as that because just because you know how to read in third grade doesn't mean you know how to read in eighth grade and 11th grade. It's a skill that you keep going back to and keep building on. But one of the things I like to do to get to know my kids a little bit more is to occasionally give them an assignment where I ask them to reflect on a certain situation and how it's played out in their own life. Or answer questions. After they came back from New Year's, I said, so how's 2019? What are your big plans for this year? And some kids talked about their vacations and everything that they did and wrote me a novel. And other kids just said, you know what? I just want to do better in school this year. I want to ask more questions. And that just told me what was important to them at that time. You could always throw out those questionnaires on Google Classroom very quickly and very easily just to get feedback from everyone. Because you know, that one quiet kid in the room, if you don't ask them how they are, you don't realize sometimes, you know, you'll ask them and they'll tell you something and you're floored by what they just told you because it's so personal and it gives you a glimpse into their struggles at home that you would never know otherwise because it maybe doesn't come up in conversation in the classroom. Sometimes I know how the kids are doing in terms of feedback because they don't hand in the assignment. And then, is it because they haven't done it, or is it because they really don't know how to do it?
Exactly.
And that's a problem. So sometimes I get my feedback from who hands it in first and who's holding on to it. There are times, though, that I think, you know, there's got to be something else going on with this kid, and I can't, you know, can't figure out what's holding them back. You know, and then I'll get, you know, emails from parents, and, and we're both trying to figure out, and I'll say, I'll keep them after school and have them work with me, and if I can slip in a comment with, you know, so how are things going, you know, or I really like this about you. Any way to build up their sort of self-esteem, especially when they're down, is important. But yeah, it's amazing. It's like hitting a moving target with kids. And, and you know, even when you feel like you know them, they'll be happy 1 second, and then and all of a sudden change. Their life has fallen apart because of a comment somebody made to them in the hallway.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. This was fun.
This was amazing, and I'm hoping that the next person who listens to this podcast really gets an understanding from a different perspective. I do appreciate your time again, Ms. Carson.
Oh, no problem.
And I'm hoping in the future we can do this again.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.